morning, everyone. We're going to call to order the Senate Committee on Judiciary. Thank you for being here. We have three bills that are, I guess, our first set of official House bills, even though we've done a few during the previous portion of our session. We're now into hearing just House bills, and so we've got three bills. We're going to just go down the order of that they're on the agenda. So we'll open up a public hearing on House Bill 2553. Mike.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2553 makes clear that 5 days means 5 judicial days when computing when an in-custody defendant must be arraigned.
All right. Hey, Rob.
Good morning. Mr. Chair, Senators. Rob Bovet, District Attorney from Lincoln County, for the record. This bill is a minor technical fix to an inadvertent consequence of legislation in 2003, which kind of tweaked the LC statutes. Traditionally, we've always had a week to conduct a grand jury, and what happened was, through an inadvertent side effect of 2003 legislation, it left ambiguous whether or not the 5 days referenced in our preliminary hearing statute was indeed 5 judicial days. Judges around the state in the last few years, actually it took about 10 years for it to sink in, have now been ruling that in fact, and I believe they're actually technically correct, that because of the inadvertent change in 2003, we essentially squeezed and compressed the grand jury system into 5 calendar days. This just simply restores status quo ante across the state and restores the full week that we used to have. I don't believe anyone's opposed to it, but it is an important fix, in particular for victims of crimes who essentially have to scramble to meet the grand jury deadlines, and in smaller counties, it can become real problematic. So there wasn't any opposition on the House side, and it passed unanimously there, and I'd ask you to pass it unanimously here. I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
So currently, if there was a national holiday or something like that in that week as well.
Yeah.
It could mean that you may only have 2 or 3 days as opposed to 3 if it's on a weekend. Then you put a Monday, now you've got 2 days. I mean, is that true? And this would change that so that if there was a national holiday, you would also get that extra day the following week.
Mr. Chair, Senator Roblin, that is exactly what happened prior to 2003 and actually, frankly, prior to about 2009 around Oregon until the judges started to actually read the changes that were made. And so, especially when we have, for example, a court furlough day on a Friday and we have a holiday on a Monday, it makes a mess out of the entire system. And this would essentially restore what we used to have.
All right. Any other questions? Rob, thank you. Is there anyone else who wants to testify today on 2553? Not seeing anyone, we'll close the public hearing. And do we have all the paperwork?
Yep.
We're going to open up a work session on House Bill 2553.
Mr. Chair, do we want to use the consent calendar?
We don't have a consent calendar.
Oh, we don't. No. Okay. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2553 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Close moves House Bill 2553 to the floor of the due pass recommendation, wishing we had a consent calendar, but we don't.
That's true.
I mean, really.
That's true.
Big difference between the House and Senate.
That's true.
Discussions? Any objections? So ordered. And Senator Roblin, since you're so versed on this, we'll let you be the carrier on 2553. All right, we're going to close the work session on 2553, open up a public hearing on House Bill 2554. Mike?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2554 adds to the list of crimes that can be diverted unlawfully possession prescription drug under ORS 689527 sub 6.
All right. Rob?
Good morning again. For the record, Rob Bovet, Lincoln County District Attorney. Mr. Chair, Senators, House Bill 2554 further expands what we call the conditional discharge statute. You may recall that many years ago, we set up a system in Oregon statute that allowed us to essentially divert people out of the justice system in terms of a conviction and allow them essentially to earn a dismissal of their drug case. Throughout the years, you've allowed me to present you legislation to expand that to various other crimes that are addiction-driven, such as, for example, property property crimes. The chair may recall that was part of our meth package in 2005. And we use that very heavily in a lot of programs, not the least of which is drug court. It's a real great carrot to allow people to essentially earn a dismissal of their case that is driven by addiction. Well, as reflected on the backside of my written testimony, and as I'm sure you're all well aware, prescription drug abuse has been spiking in our nation, actually, and Oregon is no exception. Many of the prescription drugs that are abused are not necessarily controlled substances. They are prescription drugs, and some are, in fact, analgesics and subject to addiction, but they're not controlled substances, and the way that the statute currently reads limits our ability to offer a CD or a conditional discharge to possession of a controlled substance. All this bill does, 2554, is allow me to offer a CD to someone charged with possession of a unlawful possession of a prescription drug, which is actually a lesser offense. It makes no sense to me that I can allow someone to essentially work their way into a dismissal of a felony, but not a misdemeanor. So I think this is a logical expansion and extension of the CD statute to cover the latest drug trends in Oregon. Happy to answer any questions if you have any. Again, like 2553, this didn't have any opposition on the House side and was unanimously supported there, and I would ask you to do the same for 2554.
All right, thank you. Aaron?
Morning, Chair Pruszanski, members of the committee. Vice Chair Chloe Saren Jeffers for the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. It's a great day when all I have to say is that we fully support this bill. We'd like to thank DA Bovet for putting this together, and for the reasons he stated, we think it's a good bill and it should pass.
Thank you. Questions?
There's a statement. As a high school principal, whenever I heard CDs, I used to think of it in a different way.
It's a new way.
A new way.
Today. Any other questions? Any other comments? Is there anyone else who wants to testify on 2554? Not seeing anyone, we're going to go ahead and close the public hearing. I believe we have all our paperwork, so we'll open up a work session on House Bill 2554.
Chair, I move House Bill 2554 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Close moves House Bill 2554 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And Senator Dingfelder, you want to carry this
sure,
one?
Sure, be happy to.
Senator Dingfelder will be the carrier on 2554. We'll close the work session on that bill. Open up a public hearing on 2627.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2627A allows a diversion participant to pay off remaining diversion fees beyond the allotted time so long as the amount owed is less than $500 and all other requirements of diversion have been satisfied. Also allows court to order restitution as a condition of diversion, which creates a money judgment which survives beyond the diversion period, even where the DUII is dismissed per successful completion of diversion.
All right, thank you. Representative Hicks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Senators. Representative Wally Hicks, House District 3, Josephine County. House Bill 2627 is a collaborative effort between the District Attorney's Association, Defense Bar, and the Department of Justice. So I could almost end the sentence there and say any questions. But
you notice you're sitting in between, though.
I am. But they need not be physically separated on this one. So this really is a good bill. The bill does two things. It allows persons who still need a little bit more time to pay off their diversion to do so. It gives the, or rather allows the judges to decide whether they should have the opportunity to do so, and so we do return some judicial discretion there. And it also permits, this is a policy change that is kind of long overdue, and I thank Mr. Healy in particular and Defense Bar for this, but it also allows the restitution to be tied to a DUII charge so that the state need not to charge an additional count, which has traditionally been the case. Usually they'll have to charge another misdemeanor that such as criminal mischief that would permit the recovery of restitution on behalf of the victim. And so now we are changing the law to permit DUII to also have a restitution award tied to it by the judge. And that's my testimony.
So Scott, I'll let you go second.
Thank you, Chair Pruszanski, members of the committee. My name is Scott Healy. I'm a senior deputy DA in Clackamas County. And this really has been a collaborative effort. It's been a good time working with Aaron Jeffers from OCDLA on this on the other side. He was passionately over there once we were able to get together and work on the details of the bill. We amended it a little bit. Representative Hicks is exactly right. It really benefits those that are charged with DUI for the first time, and then they're on diversion. If in fact they haven't, you know, paid all their fines and fees, and their drop dead date comes, then it gives the judges who currently under case law do not have discretion, if that date passes, to then sort of revive their case, allow them to pay the money by a certain period of time, which is like by 5 o'clock that particular day. And then the judges then have discretion to dismiss their case, which really, it's a fairness thing. It only sounds fair. And so we were actually very, you know, much involved in helping that process go forward. Also, on the other end, it helps victims. I guess the other thing, too, with regard to the restitution that now would be allowed during a diversion situation, it's sort of like you're on diversion, you're sort of like being on probation for a period of time. So during the period of time that you're on diversion, if there is some damage that you did as a part of your DUI accident, we can get the restitution now as a part of the diversion program. The law currently is that a Class A misdemeanor, criminal mischief in the second degree, if it's $500 or more damage, you know, and it's reckless conduct, then we can charge that criminal mischief in the second degree. But we, you know, we really don't like to do that because then the person potentially has that conviction and they're paying restitution on that conviction. And that sort of flies in the face of these first-time, you know, DUI offenders and the diversion statutes that we have. But in order to, you know, support the victims and get them the restitution, then we've been having to do that. The other thing, too, is those victims where the amount of restitution is $500 or less, say you hit your fence or someone ran over your mailbox or something like that, those victims were never captured by either the, you know, criminal mischief statutes or the diversion statutes. So this is really a win-win-win for both those charged with these crimes on a first-time basis and the victims, and we're really hopeful that it gets passed out. Thank you.
Chair Przanski, Vice Chair Close, members of the committee, just want to echo the prior statements by Representative Hicks and Scott Healy. It was great working with Scott and Dina Ryerson, and we did sit down next to each other at a table together and hash some of these things out. And it does benefit the defendant. There are some unjust situations where people, due to a variety of circumstances, didn't end up paying. They had done everything else they needed to do on diversion, all the classes, things like that, but they didn't get their fines paid off until shortly after the 365-day time limit had run. And I think in one case we had one of our clients had $90 left to pay, and that was it. And they paid it, I think, about 6 days after the year was up. And the judge in that case had, they felt like they didn't have any options. And so that person ended up with a conviction anyways on their record that's not expungible. And so that is an unjust result. And I think there wasn't anybody that didn't feel that way if they had worked so hard to do all of the rest of it and just couldn't come up with the last $90. So this fixes that situation. It gives the court the discretion to come in if the person knows less than $500 and have a hearing and pay either before the hearing or that day by 5 p.m. And still get the benefit of all of the hard work they did during the diversion program. It also benefits the victims because the compromise was that the victims get to have restitution attached to a DUI without the need for an additional charge, or in some circumstances where there wasn't a place to put the less than $500 charge on there. And the other thing that is helpful is that for the defendants, if the reason for non-payment, if they still have some amount left that's less than $500 but that they couldn't pay off by then, is the fact that there was a restitution that was in addition to the other fees owed. If restitution is the reason that the fines aren't paid, they can still receive the benefit of the diversion, and the restitution will go to collections. So that's an added benefit. So it helps defendants, it helps victims, and it is a positive revenue for the state of Oregon. So win-win-win. We fully support it and ask for your yes vote.
Thank you. Questions? Comments. Anyone else who wants to testify on Senate Bill 2627? Not seeing anyone, will close the public hearing. And do we have all the paperwork? Open up the work session on House Bill 2627.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2627A to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Close moves House Bill 2627A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And And one of you two want to carry, or should I carry?
Okay.
Aye. Senator Curry, will you carry on 26?
I'll help Representative Hicks out once.
I'll take it.
We'll close that
session. He will call you on that.
Sorry, Senator?
He will ask you something.
Oh, I know.
Okay, so colleagues, before we close for the day, I wanted to talk about our schedule. Looking at this week, we're set to have meetings tomorrow and Thursday at 8:30. Would you prefer starting a little bit later if we don't need to start at 8:30? In other words, moving it back to 9.
Is that a rhetorical question? Oh, sorry.
Well, some people may want to do 8:30.
Could do it at 8 and then get done early.
There's multiple ways of doing it.
There's some of us who drive in, unfortunately, every day. And
but I'm willing to go as late as 9.
Tomorrow's pretty loaded.
I'm going to check with counsel. I'm going to check with Bill Taylor and see. Some of this stuff may move very quickly.
Right, but I'm just looking at the number. There's a fair number of bills for tomorrow.
That's correct.
And if you want to move them all, 8:30 is probably
8:30 is fine, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, let's do 8:30 just to make sure.
And then maybe like 9 on, well, actually, I am excused on Thursday because I have a doctor's appointment, so.
You are? Okay.
I'm excused tomorrow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, so we're closed. We had our discussion.
My staff put in the request to come.